Oh Lord, you are our King. God, your love is amazing. Lord, to know that we are forgiven and we sometimes just don't understand. Lord, I pray that that would never get old on us. But Lord, that it would rejuvenate us at the time that we need it, that it would refresh us when we feel cold, that it would bring us near when we feel far, knowing that you loved us and that you are our King. Lord, now as we worship through your word, I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be words, but Lord, it would lead to a response today. That we would see what your word has for us and that we'd apply it in our lives so that others might see you through us. And that way we can glory and give you all the thanks. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed to Kids Connect for kindergarten through grades 5. Head back for a time in the Word this morning. And let's take our Bibles here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. As we will look again this morning at stewardship. One more time, as we look at the opportunity of what we do with what God has given to us. Stewardship of our resources. You know, sometimes it's, you know, we don't like to talk about money so much because it's involved in everything. If you look at it, money has such a huge impact on our society, and it drives so many aspects, and yet it's one of those areas that's very easy for it to become an idol in our life. It's very easy for it to become our main goal, the main thing that we are seeking, and it drives so many different aspects. And we want to say that everything's under control, but sometimes it even happens in the church, and we have to understand, hey, what does the Bible say about it? There was a man who called up to the church, and he got the secretary on the phone, and the man said, I want to talk to the head hog at the trough. The secretary said, excuse me? He said, I want to talk to the head hog at the trough. The secretary was getting very perturbed and said, excuse me, sir, if you want to talk to the pastor, and why, I don't know that she automatically assumed it was the pastor, but she said, if you're wanting to talk to the pastor, you're going to have to address him with a little more respect. You need to call him reverend or pastor. The man said, oh, well, okay, well, I have $10,000 that I'd like to get to the building fund. The secretary said, hold on, I think the big pig is walking through the door. You know, money drives so many aspects of our lives and so many different things that happen. And so it's so easy for us to get caught up in it and allow it to overtake a place in our lives that it doesn't need to be. But the Bible gives us also a clear path of this is how you use it. This is how it should be done. And it's something that's really very personal because money drives what we can do and it drives what we cannot do. You ever have those weeks? You know, this week we can do this. This week we can't do this. All right? You know, money drives a lot of that. So we go back and forth in understanding this. And so it's very personal to us. And understand that our God is a very personal God. And He wants us to follow Him personally. So this week we're going to look at stewardship and what do we do? What do we do as stewards? Last week we found out, you know, we are to be stewards. We are managers, not owners, of the resources in which God has given to us. And we saw it through King David and the building of the temple and how he approached that and the attitude in which he had. I love this quote from John Wesley. He said, when he, possessor of heaven and earth, brought you into being and placed you in this world, He placed you here not as an owner, but as a steward. We are a steward of the resources and the thing in which God has given to us. And understand this, money is not evil in of itself. What does the Bible say? The Bible says it's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. And when we take it out of the place in which God intended, and we take it for granted, and we take it and put it in a elevated place in which it doesn't need to be, and get it out of balance for scriptural truth, that's when we see money beginning to throw us off. And so it demands that we know how to control it, we know how to manage it, before it controls and manages us. And so as we look at the idea of stewardship and what do we do, I want you to understand first this morning the biblical precedent. When we talk about giving, we talk about stewardship and using our resources, in the Bible we see two different terms that describe how we use our money as the church. We see the tithe. The tithe is a word that very simply means tenth. It means a tenth. And we see the precedent laid out for the tithe even in the law in the Old Testament. In Leviticus 27 and verse 30, every tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So it is a part of the law that was handed down for Israel. Now, some people have said, well, you know, that tithe and that idea that was a part of the law, you know, we live under grace. Well, some of that is a good conversation, but I want to show you some different things. Understand that the tithe came about before the law was given. In fact, the first aspect that we see of the tithe is Abraham in Genesis chapter 14. That Abraham, after he had won a victory, he was passing through and he found the king of peace, Melchizedek, that he offered an offering unto the Lord, and he offered a tenth. He offered a tithe of all that he had in response to the victory and the blessing of the Lord. Not only that, we see Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, when he had his dream of the ladder, and he saw the angels ascending and descending, and he saw the glory of the Lord in these different aspects, and he hears the promise, I will be with you. Jacob takes the rock that he was using for a pillow, he sets it up as a memorial and says, here in this stone, and he sets up, this is Bethel, and there he offered a tenth, a tithe unto the Lord. So even before the law came into being, we see that the tithe was used as a means of worship. It was being used as a means of giving back unto the Lord as a steward, and especially after the blessings in which he has given them. But then also, we see it talked about in the New Testament. It's actually commended by Jesus. In the scripture in Matthew chapter 23, as Jesus is actually reproving the Pharisees, Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. That's a very interesting portion of scripture here. As Jesus was noting that the Pharisees were tithing on every little thing. They were tithing even on the spices. I'm not saying you need to go home to your spice drawer and start tithing on all your spices. That's not what we're talking about. But he says, you have got it down to all these different, you are tithing and you're giving a tenth even of your spices of every little thing, but you're missing these different things. He said, you ought to have done this and not neglected this. So it's not that he's saying that the tithe was unimportant. He's saying, no, this you should have been doing, plus understanding the weightier things in these different aspects. So we see him even commending it there. We also see it taught by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. That upon the first day of the week, let the collection be brought into the storehouse. Let it be brought into the congregation. And so we see this practice of the tithe being used as a tenth of all our gain, all our resources, so that we are able to use it as a means of worship unto the Lord. It shows that He is in control of who and what we have. And so it's an idea of stewardship in our worship. The essence comes from Malachi chapter 3. In verses 6 through 10, it says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation, of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So we see the principle of the tithe, of the tenth of what we have. And understand that the matter is not about how much or how little we have. The matter is about our worship. It's about giving unto the Lord worship. And the tithe is an opportunity to do that. The other aspect we see is free will offerings. Free will offerings, the precedent we see starts in the Old Testament with the building of the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 25, where Moses calls out for the different aspects, and the Lord has him bringing in the free will offerings for the building of the tabernacle, for the building of that portable dwelling place for the Lord as they move through the wilderness. We saw it last week in 1 Chronicles 29. That there were free will offerings David gave of his own personal treasury. And then we see the people coming and bringing in their free will offerings above what was given through the different sacrifices and given through the different holy times and different festivals and different worship times. They brought in free will offerings that were above the tithe as a heart of worship unto the Lord. So when we look through Scripture and understand that this is a very quick overview of it, we see that the tithe was a place of worship, that free will offerings were above the tithe to give an opportunity to rejoice with what the Lord has given to us and how He has blessed us. And it's in those opportunities we have a chance to show God the importance of His increase in what is happening in our life, and also to show that money is not going to be an idol in my heart. Because when we hold on to it, it has a way of slipping right through our fingers, doesn't it? And when we try to make it king of our heart, we see the problem. So as stewards, and as stewards of God's resources then, how do we tithe? How do we give free will offerings? This morning here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to see we give generously. We give generously. Look here with me in 2 Corinthians 9. Verses 6 through 15. It says, the point is this. All right, when you see that in Scripture, you can make a highlight right there because he's about to tell you something pretty important, right? The point is this. All right, so many times when you see these types of things, there's a marker here that the Lord's saying, hey, woohoo, pay attention right here. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He is distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you, while the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. I love how Paul, in the midst of encouraging them to give their gift, he brings it back to God through Christ. And in this beautiful picture, Paul is in the context here of giving. You can go back and read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's talking about them bringing a gift for the believers in Jerusalem, which this was already something important because this was like we see in Ephesians, this was Gentiles bringing a collection for the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. This was a big thing. It was a big deal. And they were gathering this collection in chapter 8. He's saying, I want you to finish this project of gathering for this. And then in chapter 9, he's saying, I want you to be ready to give. And then in verse 7, we see that verse that we've heard and seen before. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Each one, it's each individual that is in their responsibility together with the congregation. So each of us have this responsibility with the corporate aspect of worship. Each one inside the group, and as we come together, each one inside the group, we are to give not reluctantly or under compulsion. Paul's saying this is not about coercion. This is not about exaction. I'm not coming to take this from you. This is not something that is going to be demanded. I have actually heard of churches that have sent out letters when people were not tithing. You're not going to get that here. Because this is not of coercion. In fact, as people on the staff can attest to, I don't know anything about what people give. I know the numbers. I know who, or I don't know who, I know the overall amounts. I don't know the actual numbers of what each individual give. I don't look at that. I don't take the time. And I'm blessed to have people that are able to take care of that so that doesn't become an aspect of my ministry. That is not what our ministry is a part of here. Because it's not about coercion. It's not about compulsion. It's about giving out of a cheerful heart unto the Lord. It's about worship. And that's what Paul's saying, that this disposition should come out so that we give generously. And we give generously to, number one, harvest generously. We give generously to harvest generously. That's what he says in verse 6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Here Paul gives an agricultural axiom for them, this truth that they have seen in agriculture. Sow equals reap. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you don't put a lot in the ground, you're not going to get a lot coming out of the ground. He said, but if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Does that mean that we go and just give everything? He says, no, this means that we go and give in obedience. God's not asking for 100%. Don't misunderstand the aspect of that. The aspect is give and sow generously as the Lord has shown us in this obedience. Sow it bountifully so you will reap bountifully. The variable is in our sowing. How are we being generous? And out of our generosity, we see the generosity of the harvest. When we withhold, we receive the cold of withholding. When we give and are generous, we receive the benefits of generosity, prosperity, as we see there, as we saw in the verse in Malachi chapter 3, where the Lord says, test me and see if you bring the tithes into the storehouse, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so large as to you can't receive it. So we see the aspect that To harvest generously, we got to sow generously. We got to put in that effort. And that is in direct application of who we should be through Jesus Christ. Because of what He has done for us. We harvest generously when we give generously. And we give generously to, number two, reflect God's generosity. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. We give because it reflects God's generosity. Our generosity should reflect it. It's how we understand what God has done for us. Just like we saw with Abraham and Jacob there in Genesis, when Abraham gave that tenth, it was because he had just won a victory. And he was going to worship the Lord because of the blessings and because of what God has done in his life. Just like when we use our money in this way, it's a way of worshiping the Lord for the blessings in which we have. Also with Jacob, we see the same aspect, that it was with him and in that vision of the Lord and seeing what God was doing in his life, that seeing that prosperity and seeing God say, I will be with you, he worshiped the Lord with a ten. God provides so that we are all sufficient. And we got to understand the difference this morning in that idea. Because there, as it says in verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency, so that having all contentment in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. All sufficiency is a lot different than all luxury. Too many times we think that we need luxury to be sufficient. And unfortunately, we can sometimes put our situation in a different light when we put it in light of the global situation. To understand, if we have a shelter, running water, and clothes, that we are richer than a vast majority of the population of this globe. And sometimes we got to put it in perspective. And that's not about being used for guilt. It's about understanding what we have and understanding the benefits of it. Through that, we have an opportunity to reflect God's generosity, because he's able to make all things sufficient. He's able to provide in every situation. He supplies through everything. We must understand God's provision, understand his generosity, and understand he didn't have to. That's the beautiful thing about grace, is grace is undeserved. And what God has given to us freely through his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he's provided to us in all these ways is an immeasurable amount of grace that was undeserved and that God has provided. The question is, what will we do with the value and the love in which he's imparted unto us? Because what we do with it reflects our understanding of God's generosity. Have you ever seen how a mirror's made? You know, one of my favorite shows is to watch is that How It's Made. And one day they had mirrors on there. You're like, now that's really exciting stuff, Brother Lyle. You're watching how a mirror was made. It was awesome. They took this big sheet of transparent glass. This big sheet of glass, and they pushed it over onto these rollers. And they started rolling it through these different baths. And here was this glass that would go through these different baths of to clean off all the minerals. They had to get all the minerals off the glass, and then they spray it with a tin to kind of help these different things and chemicals connect. And then after the tin, it went through this bath of silver. And that transparent glass became reflective when it went through silver. And I sat there and I was looking at it, and I was like, that's interesting. Because when value was added to it, then it became reflective. And I kind of think that in our life, when value is added to our life, we're going to reflect something. What are we reflecting with the value that has been added into our life? With what God has blessed us and what he's done with us, we now have the opportunity to reflect back his generosity. A way of reflecting back what he has done for us. So we reflect God's generosity. And number three, we see to give thanks generously. In verse 11, I think is a beautiful verse that really sums up a lot of this passage. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. You see, when we replicate the generosity of God, it leads to thanksgiving. It leads to thanksgiving. You have been enriched in every way to be generous in every way. What do we call those people that receive and never say thank you? They're the ungrateful, right? But now here in this opportunity, we have a way of seeing that we have been enriched so that we might be generous with what God has given to us. Go down to verse 13. He says, by their approval of the service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. He says, because you know Jesus Christ, your confession and what you know through Jesus Christ, this gives you an opportunity to show that to others so that they might be thankful. Our generosity should show that we know Jesus Christ. The focus then becomes that verse 15, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. You know, the question for me is, has it ever hurt to be more grateful to God? Has it ever hurt to give God thanks? Henry Ford once was on a trip to Ireland, and he was in Dublin. And it was interesting because Henry Ford's parents were Irish. His mom and dad were from Ireland. His mom was an orphan. And there in Ireland, in Dublin, he was visiting an orphanage. And they knew, the trustees knew, hey, Henry Ford, he's, you know, very wealthy. And you know, he has given generously to different things. And they were talking to Henry Ford and kind of asking him to give a donation to the orphanage. And Henry Ford, out of his kindness, he sat down, he wrote a check for £5,000, which was a lot of money at that period of time. The trustees were thrilled about it. They were excited. They took the check, and the news started to spread, and all of a sudden the next day, the headline in the newspaper said, Henry Ford donates £50,000. And the trustees were just mortified. Like, he was generous. He gave us $5,000, and now they printed in the paper $50,000. Somehow an extra zero got it added in there. So they run to Henry Ford, and they were talking to him. Listen, we're sorry about it. There was a misprint. We didn't understand what all was happening. We didn't mean for that to happen. To which Henry Ford said, it's okay. Pulls out his checkbook and wrote a check for £45,000. He said, this will bring it up. He said, but I have one request that you put as an inscription over the door, I was a stranger and you took me in. Because he knew, with his mom being an orphan, the importance that was. And that shows and reflects the generosity that we see. And that is what we have an opportunity through our stewardship to do, is to reflect and to see thanksgiving happen generously because of our stewardship. Have you ever felt bad doing something for somebody else? Have you ever felt bad being a blessing to somebody? It was interesting. One year for Christmas, Hayden was riding with his grandfather. And Hayden was, I don't know, maybe first, second grade. And Hayden had conned his grandfather into some cash. His grandfather gave him $20. And they pulled up to Kroger. And out in front of Kroger, it was Christmas time, and you know what are sitting out in front of the stores. There was the Salvation Army, the guy with the bell, and he's ringing and has the little kettle there. And as they're going in, you know, Hayden looks over and he sees that. He asks Pop, what's that about? You know, what's this? You know, and so as they're walking through the store, Pop was telling him about it. Hayden looked at some toys, and they're coming out, and then as they're coming out, Hayden runs over to the pot, takes that $20 bill, and drops it right in the kettle. And Pop looked at him and said, whoa, usually you put change in there, Hayden, you know, and different things. And then he started to say, you know what, how sad was that? And here he was showing me how generous to be, and I was worried about it. Otherwise, he would have spent the $20 on probably Green Army Men or something like that that would still be getting stuck in my feet today. But he was generous. something that teaches us, you know, when does it ever hurt or is a problem for us to be generous? Because as stewards of God's generosity, it's not just monetary generosity. We are to give generously so that thanksgiving and worship might come back to the Lord. That generous response is the proper understanding of what God has done, and not only that, what God wants to do. Because when we give generously, we have the opportunity to see the mission go forward. Our generosity in giving endorses our support of the mission. How generous we are and as stewards, and how we come together as stewards of the resources in which God has given to us, and we use that generously, endorses our support for the mission of the gospel. It leads to that thanksgiving. It shows how much we understand what God wants to see accomplished, not just in our lives, but in the lives all across this world. I want to give you an example of it. You see, in our budget, in our church budget, there's one thing that's percentage-based. In other words, there's one thing in our budget that we do based on a percentage of our income, and that's our missions giving. So as our budget, as our income comes up, guess what immediately comes up? Is our missions giving. And I want to give you a little perspective. Because as we look at this, in 2014, in that percentage, we saw in that year $14,570 go to missions. 2015, $16,420 go to missions. As income increases, the percentage increases. 2016, $32,995 went to missions. 2017, $40,883 went to missions. When we steward our money according to how God has designed it to be, even in our design of our budget, immediately the mission and the carrying forth of the gospel to the foreign nations goes up. And it gives us an opportunity to see the gospel go forward. This is all an opportunity for us to worship. There are other areas, even in our budget, that we've seen increases in benevolence, in outreach, in discipleship, in different places where the gospel has gone forth. And this generosity and stewardship gives us more of an opportunity to engage the mission, to bring it about. So when we look at this passage and we see what Paul is bringing about and that idea, think of verse 11. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. When we do it, more thanks can be given to God. And I guarantee you, when you put that practice into play in your life and you watch God increase you, you're not going to sit there and say, you know what, I wish I'd held back more from God. You're going to see how He blesses, and you're going to say, thanks be to God and what He's able to do. This morning now, with the value being imparted unto us, what will our mirror reflect? Shall we stand? As you stand this morning there with your head bowed, can I ask you just to think on that this morning? As you've been enriched, as you've had value imparted unto you, what are you doing with it? The question is not how much or how little. The question is, how much do we understand God's generosity in our life? God has never been concerned about the size of the gift. He's done some of the most miraculous things with the smallest of gifts. He talked about the widow's mite as being more powerful than and more worshipful than those that were giving huge sums of money. The aspect this morning is, how do we respond to God? How do we steward what God has given to us? How do we reflect His generosity? This morning, don't let money take your heart. Don't let it be that last thing that you give over to the Lord. Don't let it be that last thing that you don't follow this biblical principle with. Take the opportunity to follow what God has laid out so that generosity might come forth. So the gospel might go forward. So this morning, as we have this time of response, I pray that in this moment you will deal with the Lord. And as He directs you through your spirit, respond to Him. Let every one of us decide, not of compulsion, but let us be cheerful givers this morning. Our Father, work now as only You can. Help us, Lord, to respond to You. Let Your Spirit move in us and help us, Lord, to be willing to take the steps You want us to do for Your honor and Your glory. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.